Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. I don't know what it's like outside, and normally I'd call it beautiful, but I don't know. I got to be honest. I just don't know. I seen that sun working earlier. 8150, I'm happy to be here. 8150, 93.9 is the number. Although you start having the conversation, about paying student athletes. Then you start having the conversation about quotes coming out of Kentucky, of course, with a Mitch Barnhart, you know, statement or released idea. That's like, what a drag. Like, that thing is always such a drag. That got us through the first, you know, part of the morning. But I gotta cover this subject because people, if you haven't heard, Aaron Hernandez, the former New England Patriot tight end, Aaron Hernandez, not recently, but within the last 2 years, was convicted for murder in 2013 of Odin Lloyd. He has apparently committed suicide in his jail cell. Now, I am not one to, you know, to make light of you know, this kind of conversation. I am one to always add perspective. I try to add perspective to something like this because it's just like everything else. Some people will say he was convicted for murder, good riddance. Some people will say it's a sad story. Some people will say I knew he was crazy. Everybody has a different opinion about Aaron Hernandez and his path. I'm one that would say Aaron Hernandez, the person, is separate from Aaron Hernandez, the athlete. I am the person who says that because nobody would possibly knew anything about me. Nobody knew I could host a radio show. I was the two guard for the University of Louisville. The guy was really good at basketball. You know, nobody would think that I could say anything interesting, but, you know, given the opportunity, shout out to ESPN 680 and 105.7 and 93.9 The Ville, given a little bit of opportunity, who knows what some of us are capable of. There's a positive to that, and there's a negative to that. But back to the subject, Aaron Hernandez apparently has committed suicide. It's a very, you know, very disappointing sports topic, but one that everybody has kind of been paying attention to, kind of following ancillary. And again, you run the risk of sounding sympathetic when you say things like, hey, are you aware of Aaron Hernandez's history, his childhood? People have no sympathy for that. You know why? Because they have no sympathy because he makes so much money. How many people think that your money solves all your problems? It does not. It does not. It never has. It never will. It may mask, you know, problems, but until you're right within, you know, you're never right with the outside. I mean, you can hide problems. You can dodge problems. Sometimes money gets you out of trouble, but trouble is still trouble. Aaron Hernandez found it out the hard way, and the perception of Aaron Hernandez is kind of people. No, it's not going to change. Nobody's perception of who Aaron Hernandez is and your sympathy level for him is not going to change. And I thought about this. Now, Brian Hall, you had it in your opening Sports Center about a football player, Alfonso Carter.
Yes.
Formerly named Paul Harris. Mm-hmm. Now, we talk about, you know, sports and people and personalities being different, but, you know, but people are all involved in kind of the same circle. There's always such short degrees of separation. Now, what was
amazing, these two stories came out at the same time.
Yeah, and what was your story about Paul, about Alfonso Carter?
Basically, Alfonso Carter had a gun charge that happened at a routine traffic stop, I think for speeding, back in December. And he got charged with the gun charge, and then there was also a charge about tampering with evidence, but that was later dropped. So the only charge that he actually got was the possession of a gun, and I think it was 180 days of service or something that he had to do. And then it was a thing where the weird part of the story was that the University of Louisville didn't find out about it. They might have found out in December, but they didn't choose to penalize until February.
Right.
And then they suspended him, and, you know.
Which I think could have been just a matter of let's get all the – if he says something's faulty, you know, if he feels like, you know.
Well, I think it kind of goes back to, like, the Chris Jones case. They wanted to make sure that it fell through, or that it actually came through and what was being accused was actually –
even though we do not live in a day and age where people allow you the time to investigate thoroughly, right? Yeah.
I think that the one benefit they had in this particular case was the investigation was done by a police officer, you know, and was right there on the scene and made the charges himself, as opposed to the Chris Jones story where we're all going on hearsay.
Right.
And so the thing about it was then that the team penalized him then, and then it came out yesterday, and Alfonso Carter made a tweet yesterday that he said, Bobby Petrino does not want me to be a part of this team.
And that was his tweet, his individual tweet. We had not got confirmation from Bobby Petrino. We hadn't been to the, you know, to the football department or anything. We didn't call Rocco Gaspar. So people, that's why we didn't go with that part.
And then he goes on after that. He says, I met with Bobby Petrino today, and he informed me that he does not want me to be a part of his team. I'm now going to transfer. And then he puts in his little, I guess, you know, 6'4 corner at the very end.
Just letting people know.
Just letting people know that there's a 6'4 corner available.
Now, you have an Aaron Hernandez story. You have a Paul Harris. I mean, I keep calling him Paul Harris.
So I didn't realize that Paul Harris was the same guy.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it's the same guy.
I didn't realize because Paul Harris came in as a wide receiver, correct?
Yes.
And he was supposed to be a big-time talent, so I didn't know he changed his name.
I thought you were going to step on it. I'm sorry for the hesitation I gave you. But here's what I discussed before the show started. Alfonso Carter, and that story you just heard Brian talk about, do you realize at the University of Tennessee, which is where Paul Harris transferred from, Alfonso Harris, his first roommate at the University of Tennessee was Jalen Reeves Maven.
Interesting.
The Alfonso Carter, who just did his final day at the University of Louisville and was asked to not be a part of this program, was my child's roommate when he left Clarksville at the University
of
Tennessee.
How does that make you feel when you look at the whole circumstances?
Proud. Afraid, thankful, every emotion on something like that, you know. And it's funny because, and I don't want to make this too sentimental, but when you're talking to these children, and you want to tell them, you know, your friends are influences, right? But here's the problem: when you do the right thing, and they don't, you'll start to see, like you know how you hate to tell your child. Your friend whose parents aren't, you know, or whose parents are buying them everything that I'm not buying you.
Yeah.
That's why he shows off for the girls more than you do, right? He got those Jordans, Jalen. This is a conversation. That kid got those Jordans, and he gets them every week, and he gets them every time they come out, right? What do? I say, you go practice. You go to the gym. You go to the playground. You know, you go work out. You know, you do sports activities. If I got you all those clothes and all that fly gear, you're going to show it off, which is going to be taken away from stuff you should be doing. Like, I remember actually explaining this, not just Jalen, other children, my little cousins, my family. You try to explain to them that your influences are going to make you weak. You know, they're going to make you weak in the long run. And the friends that you envy who are, you know, basically spoiled. I try to say spoiled without actually saying the word spoiled, you know.
These kids,
right, but the kids that are getting these things, you know what I'm saying, are
just given to them.
It's and it's taken away from their attention. And like I said, you know how it is. When people know you as the fly guy, guess what you have to be next year?
The fly guy.
The fly guy again. You
got
know?
To have a fall guy.
Right. Now, say not a fall guy, but a fly guy. You know, or whatever else. You know, like when you become that guy as a young person. You tend to influence, and it takes away from anything you really want to do. And I remember telling him that, and I remember saying, watch those other athletes that are also super fly. Watch how much weaker they look next year. And I'm not saying weaker like strength. Well, I'm just saying watch how less focused they get,
yeah,
the more time they spend.
You tell Jalen, you say, hey, don't worry about going to that party on the weekend. Hit the weight room.
Listen, I didn't tell him that. I just didn't feel like paying money for his Jordan.
But you got
really, I'm just giving you
the
this
whole thing is for Marcus to save money here. We're not trying to buy Gucci sweaters.
No, right? Listen, and you know how difficult that is trying to explain to somebody this is about the greater good, not just because I don't feel like. Your mom harassed me about buying you some Jordans, but here's the bigger thing you need to here's the big picture here.
But the greater picture is we need to save money. So, right. So in other words, no. Take the free things and get in the weight room. That's right. Free because you're a student there and use that.
No, in all seriousness, you know, I'd say, you know, those people you're around, like, have fun with them. Have good relationships with them. But don't, you know, don't ever let them get you into a compromising situation. And
well, I think it also shows Jalen's character in the sense that, you know, he's been around, you know, because there's a lot of other players that have left Tennessee and transferred and been accused of different things. And, you know, he didn't get in that mess.
Oh, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name.
Jalen Hurd?
No, Johnson. Johnson, there's a linebacker at Tennessee, got accused of rape. His name, type in linebacker accused of rape. Tennessee linebacker accused of rape. Type in that name really quick. I can't think of his name. I'm so sorry that I can't think of his name right now. But this kind of goes along to the fine line element between, you know.
A.J. Johnson.
Now, people, this is, you know, these are centric stories to me. And, you know, listen, if you're not into centric stories in my life, then I get it. You know, it's Wednesday. This is how this stuff affects me personally. A.J. Johnson was a linebacker projected to go in the first round, right? Jalen Reeves-Maben went to Tennessee and played special teams. When he got in on special teams, which A.J. Johnson loves special teams, Jalen Reeves-Maben, he actually kind of got took in by A.J. Johnson.
Really?
He liked Jalen because he knew he was a little young pup dog, right?
Yeah. He's going to be the stud on their team eventually. Yeah,
and one of those first weekends in early, you know, during the season, Jalen got in the game as a freshman and blocked a punt against Georgia. They went out that night, right? A.J. Johnson told Jalen, hey, we're taking you out with us tonight, with the seniors, with the juniors and seniors. Yeah. He's the only freshman. He told him, don't tell your little freshman.
Big timer already.
Yeah. Don't tell your little freshman buddies where we're going, right?
Yeah, king of the castle.
Jalen told me that he was going out with them that night. You know, I got that call. That call, the nightmare call. You know what? The cops showed up at that party, underage drinking. Jalen, there's a warrant out for Jalen. There's a warrant out for AJ. There's a warrant out for all these guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just that call. I remember how pumped he was about, you know, getting to hang out with the studs. Like, you know. Yeah. If a linebacker, a first round linebacker, invites you out as a freshman, what do?
You go. You go.
You go.
You go.
Even though I want to say, hey man, maybe you should sit this one out. You know.
No. You gotta let the kid spread his wings and
right,
fly.
Right. Right. And you have to have faith in him. But here's the thing, that happened that night. About 4 weeks later, is when A.J. Johnson. Now maybe it wasn't 4 weeks. Time after
relatively
that,
close.
Right. Eventually, in AJ's career, he was kicked off the team for a rape charge. He and another student, right?
Yeah.
He's still fighting that case. Apparently, there was just a federal court decision that allowed him to bring in social media as evidence of his innocence. Like, this is an ongoing legal battle. If he's innocent, it's going to be shameful. If he's guilty, it's going to be shameful. Either way, right? But that's what I'm saying. That's how close you are to being involved with an Aaron Hernandez. You know, and where'd that come from?
I'm not sure. Sorry about that.
Right. It's like, somebody breathing on the microphone in the background. Somebody
I thought that was Drew, but I don't know. Drew.
But you get the point. Like, I think about that every time I see an Aaron Hernandez. I think about how close you are to trouble.
Well, people don't understand that. There's so many stories that have happened with different athletes that, you know, it's a terrible thing to say, and you look at it, I mean, you just look at the University of Louisville, and you're like, oh, they're not going to ever be a part of it. And then the day that Aaron Hernandez's story comes out, we got a player getting kicked off the team because of a gun charge. And, I mean, you look at different players like Michael Dyer, and you look at, what was it, Nate Williams?
Yes.
And different guys that used to be here. It was Willie Williams. I'm sorry, Willie Williams.
You're right.
And it just happens way too regularly because these guys get into a spot where they think they're invincible because they're an athlete walking around campus.
See, I will also always pause on that because, say, people get in trouble every day.
Yeah, it happens everywhere.
People are out here getting in trouble every day, but we just hear about it on the –
because it's an athlete.
Yeah, on the athlete front. You can knock that door. I dare you. I double dare you. People, right now, Brian Hall's in the booth. It's hot in the booth. But here's the thing. I think we can say it. We can pull back the curtain. The big dogs are in town. When the big dogs are in town, my man Brian can't just slam the door and say, hey, keep it down out there, Mark Ebert. What are you doing? You get my point, people. When you have the big dogs in the building.
The big dogs?
Yes.
Are you saying I'm a big dog, Marcus Maven?
Absolutely, absolutely. Welcome to the Midday with Marcus Maven Show. So listen, since I got you on,
okay.
What's your subject du jour?
What's my subject du jour?
Yes.
Well, see, we record on Wednesday mornings.
Indeed.
They play later.
No, we don't do that in radio. We don't.
No, you're just,
everything's live.
Marcus
always
is live right now. Yes. Although we replace segments of the Marcus Maven Show later on in the day.
Right. When he
lie to the people.
When he gets lazy, we do record subjects. So you're in the midst of recording as we speak.
I just got done recording a show. We had a kid who graduated from UofL, and he has autism. And so he talked about his time at UofL and how UofL got him through. And it's tough, as you can imagine, if you're autistic.
And this will be aired.
That show will be aired next Wednesday night at 6. And then I did another one with some guys that you should talk to sometime. They're sports analytics guys at the UofL athletics department.
Ooh.
They're the ones that put GPS devices on and track the training of all the athletes.
Ooh.
And decide, you know, well, this athlete needs to run less, and they help the coaches figure out what to do. You never had that when you were in sports.
That's why I say when the big dogs are in the building. You see what kind of guests he get? It's just me and Brian talking about, you know, athletic director decisions and why you can't pay students.
Why can't you pay students?
Exactly.
I'm not getting into that one, man.
That's exactly the point. I said we can drive this thing in circles, and I need solutions.
Okay.
Yep.
If you want to hear about stuff going, other stuff other than athletics going on
yes.
at UofL,
yes.
Tune in Monday and Wednesday nights at 6:00.
Yes. Thank you for that.
All right, Marcus.
I thought you were going to jump off air without giving your obligatory advertisement.
Oh no, the free pat on the back,
yes.
and the free push, man. No, I'll take
yes.
it anytime.
Yes. right. Listen, I appreciate it. Again, Brian Hall is keeping the door open because it's so hot in the booth. And we got big dogs. That's real conversation in the studio. In all honesty, people, these are really smart guys in this building. Like, we talk about it constantly. These are really, really smart guys in the building. And if you want to have some debate, you want to hear about some, you know, serious, listen to Mark Ebert Monday. Yeah, I mean, it's a handful. It's a handful. If you want to tweak your brain, we got a smart audience. I don't think this audience is intimidated about, you know, having good conversation. Butch, thanks for joining me on Midday with Marcus Maven. What's on your mind?
What's up, Marcus? How you doing, man?
I'm good, Butch. How are you?
I'm doing good too. And you know, just to chime in on the conversation about the athletes.
I was hoping you would.
You know, man. It just goes, it's athletes, celebrities, whoever. I've always said that they should not get special privileges. I'm sorry. You break the law, period.
You think
I can't go out and get in trouble out here without going to jail for a while?
Do you think that's a problem, that athletes get too many special privileges?
Oh, yes. It's always been a problem. And I'm really trying to think of somebody that just keeps getting slapped on the wrist that's going on now.
Bill O'Reilly. Do you think
there you go.
Bill O'Reilly has gotten special privileges?
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. And I mean, whenever you hear something negative about any personality that's on television or radio.
Right.
They need to lose credibility. I mean, it's just this country. This country is you know, they. I'm lost for words, man. But I just say that it started at the top. All the allegations, all the witnesses, and everything else. You know, I mean, if it doesn't happen to the top, it's just not gonna happen.
Right. And listen, Butcher, I appreciate the call, and I understand your frustration. That loss for words is because you don't know how to separate Bill O'Reilly from Aaron Hernandez, from the athlete, from the guy who is considered a businessman. We talked about it. Phil Mickelson, real life fraud. Like it was inside trading.
Inside trading.
Like a felonious case of insider trading. Phil Mickelson cost, like, think about this, people. If you do something illegal in insider trading, you cost a company millions and millions of stock dollars, and you find inside ways to capitalize on it. Do you know what the punishment was for Phil Mickelson?
Slap on the wrist?
Not even that. He paid the money back. He paid the money back. Think about that. If you owned a business, Brian, and Phil Mickelson found out that they were going to give the concrete layers, were going to up the price on you, right, or something,
yeah.
And he basically tanked your business because he's a stock owner. Mm-hmm. He
let the stock rise and then he sold.
Yeah,
high.
Like he ruined your business. Like he cost you so much money so he could make $1 million here and there. And then if you found out that somebody talked to somebody else to ruin your business, and then you found out the punishment. Like people forget that there are real life victims in all crimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And just because they don't look like victims, like you're. You know, black eye, bloody nose, you know, victim. There are victims. And I agree with Butch. It's like you have to hold everybody accountable. And unfortunately, it's just not something you see.
I wonder, though, you know, going back to kind of the paying the players.
Yes.
I wonder how much that would really affect other things. Because you talk about how it affects somebody. I wonder if we would see less stadium expansions, less other things. Because you factor in... Yeah, 1.5 million or whatever, or 2 million, or how many ever million it ends up being, in the grand scheme of things, is not a lot of money for 1 year, but over years, it adds up and it adds up.
And that's a great point, Brian, because when you talk about money that goes into stadium expansions, like this Papa John's Cardinal Stadium is expanding, the biggest like defense or the biggest conversation about stadium expansion is, Louisville doesn't even pack all the regular games right now.
Exactly.
And then you know what they say? People who want to expand the stadium, they say, but that Notre Dame game, we will. That Florida State game.
So we're spending $65 million for one game a year?
For a couple of games and to be the biggest house on the block.
No, the main reason we're doing this is because we want to add those suites, too, because that suites are a lot
right.
of – so as a sport management major, we studied a lot of this. The reason that Jerry Jones, basically one whole side of his football stadium is suites, is because the suites bring in more money
for everything, yes.
than anything else. And so we're adding the stadium expansion because we're getting all those floor or field level suites.
Yes.
And that alone will pay for it in itself.
And then the pay the athlete guy pops up.
Yeah.
They pay the athlete guy and say, okay, so you can open up $60 million for more suites, and you can't take $5 million off of that $65 million stadium expansion.
Right.
And give and I'm not talking about a stipend, giving a comfortable, these students, we talked about it, that UPS example, Brian, UPS employee who commits, and again, I'm paraphrasing, you can work 8 hours, yeah. and if you commit to go to working for UPS for 3 years, they pay for your school.
Yeah,
right.
Same concept, but you go back to the original statement that we were talking about, and it's that okay? Yes, he's getting a free education from UPS, but what is he doing for the university in the grand scheme of things, money wise? Whereas the athlete is working 8 hours a day.
The same as UPS guy.
Whether it's practice or in the gym or whatever.
Right.
But he's actually making millions of dollars in return for the university.
And he that's what I'm saying. He has a skill that only a certain number of people have on the planet.
Yeah.
Like no shade at UPS guy, but you don't possess the skill that any athlete, the female lacrosse player has a skill that you don't have at UPS, that you're not forced to have.
Yeah, it's nothing against UPS at all. I mean, UPS is a great job for somebody once they get out of college, but the thing is that 95% of students are not athletes. And so that's a great career for those guys. But that 5% who is athletes, those go on to, get a lot of endorsement deals.
But the ones that don't, you know what they do? They start at UPS 4 years behind the guy who's been 4 years deep in the UPS.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. And then the conversation comes in naturally that UPS is a corporation. And then it gets scary because you say, what is the – have you heard Papa John's and Governor Bevin and Tom – you talk about corporation. Mm-hmm. What sounds more like corporation, UPS or the University of Louisville and their beef?
It's true.
Do any of these sound – Mitch Barnhart and his jargon, does that sound like corporate – that's corporation talk if I ever heard it.
Definitely.
We're talking about reshuffling – board.
I mean, yeah. He's trying to put his print on everything.
Yeah, it's like this is the soap opera of this is the empire. This is empire.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is.
Create a monopoly here.
What is this thing becoming?
There's no supply and demand
Midday
here, all right?
Day with Marcus Maben, 8150, 93.9 is the number. Talk a little NBA to stretch it out on 93.9 DeVille.
Welcome back to Midday with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150, 93.9 is the number, 93.9 is the station. Ryan, every time I see you on your phone, not thinking computer love, Ryan, I'm thinking he must be on Zucker.
I am.
Ryan must be back there on Zucker and play the Derby theme memory game on the Zucker app if you are on Zucker. Ryan,
every time you play
is another entry to win. Prize package includes two tickets to the Kentucky Oaks Steaks Room Balcony. Two tickets to the Derby. Finish Line Suites Balcony. Three-night stay in the Galt House. Two tickets to the Phillies and Lilies Party.
Ooh.
Semi-private transportation on Kentucky Oaks Derby Days. Paddock Tour on Kentucky Oaks Day. Total value, about 17 racks. Play the Derby-themed memory game. I'm telling you, people, it's that easy. Receive unlimited entries into the Derby experience of a lifetime. Check out other fun games on Zucker, like Zuctionary Solitaire Trivia, Zuckerbird. Every time you play, you earn points. Zucker's coming to Louisville area soon, so keep playing, earning those points. You'll be able to redeem them for great deals to your favorite restaurants and shops. I'm always happy to be able to do that. I'm always happy to be able to tell you Wednesday, 502 Cafe. If that sun is out when I get out of the studio and I don't see people pouring in to 502 Cafe, I'll be extremely disappointed. Now, people, you know this is the 19th. You know yesterday was April 18th, the last day for your taxes. Speaking of taxes, I got to tell you, this is time to restart your financial future by restarting futures. Greg Morris, Erica Morris, they are so healthy. Credit repair specialists. 75-day program will have you ready to get your credit card, ready to get your cars with a good interest rate, ready to get your house with a great interest rate. The look that people will have of impressed credit is 75 days away. I always take my time telling you, give you a chance to get a pen to write down this number. Because it is a restarting of your future. Erica Morris, Greg Morris, area code 502-407-2000. 8383. You hear the commercial. I tell you, this is what you need. If you have financial issues that you've been putting off, dodging, they cause anxiety to everybody. Restarting futures, again, area code 502-407-8383. Erica Morris, Greg Morris, tell them I sent you, and they'll give you a very, very sweet deal. Brian?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I was going to go along with the restarting futures. I'm all about it.
Yeah. Listen, I need to restart
my future.
I know that's right. Who doesn't need to restart their future?
But, so why not get started today?
So, Brian, who is that that we have here? Before I get into my
subject,
Austin, thanks for joining me on Midday with Marcus Maven. What's on your mind? Austin, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go, fire away.
Hey, good morning, Marcus and you guys. I was specifically thinking about as far as using the stipends as an incentive for the students to maybe stay longer at the school, maybe enforcing it, maybe coming to enforcement in their junior and senior year. And if possibly, maybe some of the sponsors like Thornton's with the credit card idea, maybe Thornton's and O'Reilly's and some of those places that the car would be designated to kind of help pick up some of the expense.
Right. And listen, I got no problem. I appreciate the call, Austin. When I'm talking about stipends, when I'm talking about being incentives to stay in school, you can do it like North Carolina or you can do it legally. You can have agents. Like that rule to keep agents away, that doesn't work.
Well, you know the only way students are going to stay is money. I mean, that's the only thing that's making them leave. The reason they're going to the NBA
right.
is to make that fat
right.
paycheck.
Because people, they've lowered the pay scale even in the pros. It is getting more financially beneficial to come back to school. People are taking shots at the back end of the third round because they need the minimum amount of money, uh-huh. right? Like if I had $10,000, like, to really be able to sustain a comfortable living existence in college, I'd come back in a heartbeat. That's what people don't realize. You think you're so quick to say selfish athlete just wants to be paid and just wants to be. No, don't put your personal influence on the athlete. Acknowledge that these kids love school.
Yeah,
they love school, but they have people who need a couple of hundred dollars around them. You need a couple of hundred dollars to be able to give to your little brother, your sister, your mom. Like, you need to be able to help out a little bit. You just need a job type. If you worked a good job at UPS, you know what you can do? Mm-hmm. Give your parents a couple of dollars when they're tight. Give your people a couple of dollars, and live in a manner that you're not on begging every day.
Well, what we're kind of talking about, too, is we're not talking about paying them millions of dollars like they're
yes.
going to get paid in the NFL or the NBA.
Why do people think
we're
that,
just
Brian?
Trying to say that you're going to make a healthy living to where you can live a normal lifestyle.
Right. People shouldn't think that $10,000 over the course of 6 months, that's $20,000. That's a $20,000 job.
I think it'll save some kids. Some kids will come back, but honestly, it's not going to be anywhere close to what they can make if they move along. I don't think it'll stop a lot of kids.
Oh,
I think it'll stop some.
Oh, you know what? It'll stop an Isaiah Briscoe. Yeah. It'll stop
those guys that are on the
all
border.
Those
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
He'd be coming back 100%
yeah,
right
think
now.
Think about
probably.
It. Okay, there's 30 spots. There'll be 160 kids declare for the draft, trying for 30 spots, and we're talking about the second round spot. Yeah. Let's just say 40 spots. There'll be 160 kids who the shot at the money is more beneficial than staying in school. Just the lottery ticket
yeah.
of leaving school is closer because you $10,000 does not make you rich.
Here's the thing though. It's got to be really monitored by the NCAA and in the sense that no matter if you're that third string guy on scholarship or you're the Heisman Trophy winner, you're getting the same amount. Because you know what's going to eventually come about if this ever were to come about. They're going to be like, well, we want to pay different players different stipends.
No, not in the Power
5. And then it
turns
into a recruiting battle.
But that's what I'm saying. We did the math. Ryan, the $5,000 was what? 300.
It's got to be a blanket.
300
and,
yes, Title IX. Yep. 350 scholarship athletes, which is the average number of scholarship athletes at a school. Yep. 300, if you gave them $5,000, that's the equivalent to $1.2 million. We talked about it. Papa John's Stadium expansion. I mean, give or take three to six million on any day.
Yeah.
Right? We're talking about one drop in the bucket to ensure.
It's probably 1.2 million in added adjustments as they're building it.
Right, man. And I'm telling you, man, when you're a student athlete and somebody's working at UPS and they got a fam, you know, they got a wife, a kid, they work at UPS and they're getting their school paid for and they're getting a real job salary.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
that's another thing to factor in a lot. I mean, not a lot, but there's a decent amount of college athletes that got kids now.
Yeah, among other things. Like I said, there's so many I don't know why people say, "Oh, well that's if they have kids, then they shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't be doing that."
That has nothing to do with them as a person.
Right, right.
They still are, you know, the same age and still
got
to get an
education. I mean, geez, Tom Brady got a baby mama. You know, yeah. like you don't feel that narrative. You feel like, you know, no, you do things the right way. And it's like, come on, like stop with the old narratives.
I mean, if Cromartie was in college right now, man, he'd be having a lot of trouble, you know?
Oh, he would need much more than a stipend to be getting through the time being. But again, people, we made a couple of jokes about this. But I got to ask you this, Brian. Steve Rummage isn't in here. He's like totally in his mangasm crush mode because the Bulls are 2-0 against the Celtics, right? Yeah. I'm watching that game. Did you watch
that
game?
Well, you know what's funny about this is we actually had the conversation when the Cavs were resting players.
Yes.
That they were resting players because they didn't want to face the Bulls in the first round.
Right. Like, not that LeBron James has been to 7 straight championships. Not that LeBron James, we've seen him cramp up, literally cramp up in about 3 of the postseasons because he's doing all the work. No. None of that's possible. The only feasible reason that LeBron James rested the last 3 games of the year is because they needed to avoid the Bulls. And I got to tell
you, looking smart right now.
That's what I was going to say. It's starting to look like he was really 100% right.
Yeah.
Now, if the Cavs come in and just choke the Bulls out, that's going to be really, really funny. But it does look smart right now. And I'll say I was watching that game. Did you watch any of that game?
I did. I watched a little bit of it. I got a soft spot in my heart for the Bulls because I'm a big Michael Jordan fan.
People, I was going for the Celtics. Steve, it wasn't personal. I was going for the Celtics because a decision has to be made with the Celtics. And 81-50, 93-9, feel free to get your last couple of minutes of NBA talk in if you feel like it because I'm going to do it. I don't care what nobody else is thinking.
It's playoff time.
I'm watching it. And there's one problem with the Celtics right now. There's only one problem while they're down 0-2.
What's that?
You know what it is. Terry. I don't know. Terry Jeremiah Rozier. I don't know. That's his real middle name. But
it is for today.
See what his real middle name is because I want to use his middle name. Just type in Terry Rozier and Wikipedia page. I need to give his full middle name. Because I will set this narrative of Terry Rozier. He has got to be in this game. People, Terry Rozier.
Terry DeMar Rozier.
Terry DeMar Rozier has got to be in this game. Think about what's going on. Terry Rozier does not play because they think Marcus Smart and Bradley are the only guys that can play defense. Terry, if you've watched the Celtics, people, I implore you to watch the Celtics. I want you to see Terry Rozier when he gets into his minutes. Terry Rozier, I bet his plus minus is crazy. If you like I said, this is my bat signal call to all Louisville people. Watch a Boston Celtics game and watch Terry Rozier when he gets in the game. He is the nastiest, slickest point guard on that team outside. Listen, I'll give credit. Isaiah Thomas is better, right? He's not necessarily better, but he's more aggressive, right? Terry Rozier has separation, and he is doing what he wants to. But for some reason, Brad Stevenson has it in his mind that he wants the big, burly, you know, 6'4", you know, 6'5", muscle man guard in the game no matter how. And no matter how effective Terry Rozier is, I watched the game. I was dying to see Terry Rozier play. And when he got in, he sparked runs. I mean, it's not as bad as like Russ Smith because Terry is taller and more effective and more athletic.
Well, no, I agree with you 100%, and I almost think that he might be better off in another situation, and I hate to say that.
I guarantee.
Just because, well, Isaiah Thomas, I believe, actually becomes a free agent after this year if he doesn't re-sign, so
right.
The Celtics are going to have to dough out some money to keep him around, and if Isaiah Thomas leaves, it might open the door for a better possibility. But I agree, when you watch Terry Rozier, he's capable of starting for a lot of teams. And,
oh, for sure.
And I personally think that maybe – because even when Isaiah Thomas leaves, if he were to leave, you've still got Marcus Smart there, and you got the shuffle up. You got the number one pick when all of the guards are the top picks right now. So you're going to probably add another guard into that mix. And so at this point, you know, I hate to say it because the Celtics are on the rise, but – get Terry Rozier to some team that he could possibly be a starter.
I know. He should be a starter on that team. And I watched that game, and I'm telling you, he has to play. Let me get to this phone line real quick. Philly Carl, what's going on?
What's going on, man? Up at the VA hospital, man, I met one of your neighbors today, man. He asked what I listened to your show. I said, it's on now.
Of course we do. We don't just talk about it. We live that life.
Hey, but look at this, man. I'm listening to y'all, and I'm going to tell y'all, I know y'all like Rozier, but y'all might don't watch a lot of Boston games. I'm going to tell you why he can't start over Smart, man. I watch a lot of games, man, and Smart might be the only guard, and I say the only guard, when players set screens, when you watch basketball, the players try to go around him and try to check real fast. Smart, if you, like, check out the last 10 minutes, when you set a screen on him, pick, he tries to go through it. He's got to be one of the most physical guards I've ever seen. He actually is trying to – they don't call it a lot on him, but he's going through and knocking guards down. That's why Rozier probably won't get no clock over him, man.
So you're saying Terry Rozier doesn't start because he doesn't charge through screens?
He's not a physical defender like Smart and fight through. Now, Terry, now, all day long, Terry shoots better than him. That's all day long.
So,
but I think Brad will give him the clock because Marcus is more physical.
So Terry Rozier is a better shooter. He's a better he's a better shooter. He's a better ball handler. He's a better on ball defender. And Marcus Smart is just more physical, and that's why he starts. And that's why he plays the whole game.
He's way more physical, and he's way more aggressive. That's the only reason. Other than that, yeah, Terry Rozier shoots his lights out. But, yeah, that's why Marcus Smart get on that clock, man. The next time you watch a Boston game, watch when they try to set a screen on Marcus Smart. Watch how he goes through the screen.
Listen, I appreciate the call, man, but I'm going to tell you. You know what that is? You know what just happened right there, Brian?
I don't know.
Philly Carl is
it. Philly Carl being Philly Carl?
No, Philly Carl, he's a bigger guy, right?
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of times when people watch sports, they look at people more like them,
yeah,
and try to see, like, they try to super.
He wants the more physical part.
Yes, because he, you know, he would, if Philly Carl was out on the court, he would be considered one of the more physical guys on there, right?
Yeah.
So he has no appreciation for the IQ that is Terry Rozier.
Or the efficient player.
The defense, like, Terry Rozier will pick up a man full court and make everybody uncomfortable. Yeah. Terry Rozier, if you're a better shooter, a better ball handler, a better on-ball defender, you can't just run through screens. Like, that's not how you become a good team. He might be a better rebounder, too.
Is Isaiah Thomas running through those screens? Isaiah Thomas is one of the smallest players in the NBA right now, but he is killing it.
And I'll say this, too. Isaiah Thomas is not himself right now.
Yeah, he's on cloud nine.
I mean, no.
Oh, no, he's not in that sense. I know about his sister.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and that whole thing.
Like, you're saying.
I'm talking about his overall season. This is one of the best seasons that he's put together.
Right now, he's getting exposed for being too small. Now, in the playoffs, everybody locks in. It's not that open court, you know, run and gun him stuff.
Yeah.
Terry Rozier has got to play at this point. But, I will say this. Brad Stevens did come out with a comment and said we'll be seeing a lot more of Terry Rozier in the near future.
But see, here's what I think he's referring to. I think he's saying that Isaiah Thomas, they probably aren't going to spend the money to keep him around, and then you're going to end up with Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier here, and I think you're going to be like Philly Carl, and you're going to have a constant debate, and it's going to be a situation where, whereas if Terry was on another NBA team, he would have the chance to start, and he wouldn't have to worry about the constant debate of whether he or Marcus Smart's better.
Terry Rozier's coming up on contract year too, isn't he?
He's pretty close.
I think they can
after next season.
Next, because they extended it. It's the 2 year with the third year option.
Yeah.
So they're going to exercise their option. And Terry Rozier is going to be into his contract year next
year. But for his sake, if he wants to play, I would go to another team. I mean just because I get it. It's not his call, but I'm saying another situation would be better for him just because he's going to have that constant debate of Marcus Smart. But from a Celtics standpoint, if I'm a Celtics fan, I love that because I'm like, you got two different styles of player. You got the more physical point guard, and then you got the more finesse, good shooting point guard in Terry Rozier.
He's ready.
Got a little bit of both.
He's ready. That boy's ready. I will be watching more playoffs. We didn't get to our Paul George story. We didn't get to our Pacers. We didn't get to our Cavs. We didn't get to our Memphis Grizzlies. Why do we get involved with these other conversations and Mitch Barnhart's comments, and then we just lose track of the goal? It always is. Yeah. Shout out to Mark E for stopping by.
Yeah.
Thanks, big dog. And the big dogs are in the building. He didn't know I was really talking about the big dog.
There's a lot of brains around here.
There's a lot of brains. There's a lot of we can get fired today. So let me get off this air before I say anything stupid in front of the suits that are in town. Midday with Marcus Maben. I made it another day on 93.9 The Ville.